The Jerry Doyle Show.
Yesterday, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives passed a bill, the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which bans abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy. This passed on a party-line vote of 242 to 184. One proud member of the House voted present. That's making a statement. But if you recall, earlier this year, Republican leaders were forced to cancel a vote on the very same legislation when female House Republican members rebelled against it. Now, I called Senator Mitch McConnell's office today to find out whether or not the Republican-controlled Senate would be taking up this bill in the Senate. And as of right now on this program, I have not gotten a response from Senator McConnell's office. But even if the Senate took up the bill and they both, the House and Senate, passed the bill, this would be something that would be obviously vetoed by President Obama. So the question is, why are the Republicans doing this? Why are they voting on this? Is this the get out the vote issue for the Republicans in 2016? Anita Finley, joining us on the program, author of the book Dirty Words on Clean Skin, spent 16 weeks in the number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list. She's an actress. You probably know her work from 24, The Young and the Restless, and the co-host of the video segment Dare We Say at EpicTimes.com. Anita, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Great to be back with you.
What's your take on this attempt by the Republicans to make this abortion issue an issue?
I think it really is peculiar because when they're talking about ban on abortion after 20 weeks, people may not be aware that only 1.4% of abortions happen after 20 weeks. 99% of them happen beforehand. And abortions are at their lowest level, than they've been since 1973. So I think this is about winning the culture wars. This is a symbolic vote. I don't know that it's going to be a winner for them. And I really wonder if the American people are going to start getting irritated. They've put forth 37 bills on this issue just in the first 5 months of this year. If you look at Gallup polls, for instance, this is the last thing that is really on anyone's agenda that Republicans or anybody should be putting first. So I don't know what they're trying to accomplish, to be honest with you.
I think most people know that I'm a former Republican. I actually ran for Congress in 2000 in California. I walked on the Republican Party about 8 years ago. It left me long before I left it. But and you too, as a former Democrat, registered independent, I look at what the Republicans are doing, and when in doubt, to me, it's rolled the social issues out, God, gays, guns, and abortion. And to me, this seems to be a remake of what it is we saw with the Republicans in the repeal Obamacare efforts in their 55 or so votes that they had in the House voting to repeal Obamacare. Even Michelle Bachmann, the Republican congresswoman, said these are show votes. Is this the repeal Obamacare effort in 2016 for the Republicans, that this is what they're hoping is going to get their base to the polls one more time?
I really don't think it's going to work, Jerry, and here's why. You know, in the midterms, Republicans did well, but notoriously, Democrats don't get out and vote, and that is to their shame, and it really is idiotic because so much that is important is decided on a state and local level, and people should always be voting. But besides that, you know, in a presidential election in 2016, people are going to get out to the polls. There really is a lot at stake here, 3 or 4 Supreme Court justice nominations, and, you know, Hillary's out there painting in big, broad strokes whether somebody likes or wants to vote for her or not. People are going to get to the polls. And I really don't think this is going to be the social issue winner that Republicans suspect it is. And I've really racked my brain trying to think, why are they so, you know, hell-bent for leather to control women's bodies? There was a very interesting article talking about, since just the beginning of 2014, the first half of the year, there were 468 pieces of legislation put forth to control women's bodies. Men's, zero. Let me ask you a question. What if a man wants to get a vasectomy? Isn't he possibly killing all of these Joes and Janes? Why doesn't he have mandatory counseling? Why don't we pass some legislation about that? Why is a man completely exempt, but we are there controlling women's bodies? Whatever, whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, I see both sides of the issue. But the fact of the matter is, unless you say that women have sovereignty over their own bodies and you think they are capable of making their own moral private choice, you cannot say women are the equal of men. And so Republicans, with all their supposed outreach to women, I think they're going to fall flat on their faces with this one.
Well, good point there on counseling, because that's one of the new provisions of this pain-capable unborn child protection act. One is they have to receive medical attention, and two is they have to have counseling 48 hours before they can obtain abortion services. I would have to think that, you know, to your point about a vasectomy, well, if we're really about life and the preservation of life and the creation of life, because that's what Republicans tell us marriage is for. Marriage is for having children. And therefore, if you're going to go out of your way to do something where you would not be having children, I think you might need some counseling on that. And again, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. But here it just seems that and look, I'm pro-life. No, I'm adopted. You know, I'm glad that my biological mom gave me the choice to have a choice about choice. I mean, that's my stand on it. But that's my take on it as someone who was adopted. But I get very uncomfortable when I see the Republicans, predominantly Republican white males, that are putting these kind of requirements on women that have gone through, an atrocious, violent act like rape or incest, yeah, and then tell them that you have to go get counseling. And that's nebulous in and of itself. Counseling by who? For what purpose?
That's it. The counseling is going to be to try to talk them into having this baby. You cannot possibly imagine what a woman has gone through after a horrid experience like that. And, you know, for largely Republican males to come up with this statement, you know, this is alienating. The commercials almost write themselves. And I just, you know, good luck with that Republican outreach to women. I mean, it really is very disconcerting to me. But as you say, you know, no one is telling men, you know, that you have to have some sort of an invasive procedure to try to talk you out of having a vasectomy, whereas they have done this with women, with these, you know, transvaginal ultrasounds and so on. These are uncomfortable issues to talk about for people, and I respect that, and I respect, you know, that we're talking about them. But it's important because you really have to ask Republicans what is on their mind and why they're sending a message that a woman's word is not to be trusted. Even a South Carolina representative, a woman said that, well, in the case of rape or incest, how can we take a woman's word for it? How insulting is that? After she's been through this horrible trauma and victimization, well, how do we know that she's telling the truth about rape or incest? You know, come on. I mean, if you put something like that forth, you cannot tell me that that's going to be a winning issue. But let's put all of that aside for the moment and look at some of the other problems that we have in this country. If you look at a recent Gallup poll that I mentioned before, people are talking about the economy and unemployment and the federal deficit and the gap between rich and poor. Those are the top four issues across the board. If you looked for abortion, it would be it's all the way down on the bottom. I couldn't even find it on the first page, I swear to you.
Right.
And it really is disconcerting to me because it's not that the morality or the feeling about this is uniform. I think the country is largely split, although there is a bit of a majority, even among millennials, that are still certainly pro-choice. And more of the country is pro-choice than pro-life at this point. So I'm not sure what they're going to accomplish when you couple that with the agenda of, you know, spending a lot more time Hillary bashing rather than just putting forth positive policy that you think is going to move the American people forward. So, you know, it's not only the obsession with the legislation, but it's the obsession even with getting rid of Obamacare. Same thing. They keep doing a lot of talking, but they know that these are largely symbolic votes that are not going to go anywhere. So they're not really accomplishing anything. So that's the other point, Jerry. You know, they did very well in 2014, but don't you think that when people watch what they do with the supposed mandate they got, that this is these largely symbolic votes that they couldn't accomplish anything with, and a lot of it is for issues that only affect 1% of the whole of what they're talking about, you know, are people then going to sit home or say, or conservatives are not going to be excited about them if that's all that they're preoccupied with? I wonder
but what are they,
that.
What do they have left? Forbes has a story headline, Karl Rove waves white flag on Obamacare, so do GOP governors. So Karl Rove is urging his fellow Republicans to abandon attempts to repeal Obamacare and focus on a replacement plan. He said that going for the repeal of the health care law is going to be met by a veto by the president, and it won't work for Republicans politically. Then they're saying that GOP governors are taking a look at, and in some cases expanding, Medicaid coverage, which is gaining popularity with tens of millions of Americans. So here's the Republicans going the same way that they accuse the Democrats of going, which is big government, expansion of Medicare and Medicaid, which they say isn't the way to go, but Republican governors are going that way. People like certain provisions of Obamacare. So if you take away repeal Obamacare, if you take away don't expand Medicaid, what do the Republicans have left? Because they're as big government as the Democrats have been big government for the last 50 years. It seems to me that when you strip away the pretense of fiscal conservatism and fiscal restraint and balanced budgets and restrained spending that the Republicans talk about, when you strip that away, because it's there is no there, the only thing they have left is social issues.
Well, you know what's also peculiar? I agree with you. You know what is also peculiar about it? And this is the very sad reality. If you have a culture of life and you're pro-life, part of being pro-life is a lot of the time, if the woman can't have a baby, there's no father in the picture, whatever, you know, if the child has a birth defect, whatever the reason, let's say the child could be healthy if it's brought to term. A lot of times this legislation, because I've done a lot of research about this too, really affects the poorer people among us, and they cannot afford to have the child. And so what are they going to do? You know, and then Republicans are against, they keep cutting off food stamps, and they keep cutting off any sort of aid, and they don't want it, and they're against all of this. So how is that the culture of life? If you want the woman to have the baby, it seems to me then you are making yourself responsible, are you not, to feed, clothe, and educate until 21. You don't get to insist that the woman does not have the right to make a choice that is right for her and her family. And then, well, when the baby is born, we don't, well, that's your business. That's your problem. You know, it's like,
right,
how does that work? So it seems to me that's another problem that they are going to have to address, because if you don't think that the Democrats are going to challenge them on that, you know, obviously they will. And, that's something that we really haven't discussed. I think both sides, you know, it's very easy to do a lot of bellicose posturing, but when it comes down to it, you have to apply logic and see the argument through all the way to the end of the line, see it through to its logical conclusion. Well, if you want me to do this, then how am I supposed to support that? You know, and until they can answer that question, certainly some rich old white man doesn't have any right to tell me what to do with my reproductive rights. Because it's also insulting. It's like as if to say that I wouldn't make a moral decision on my own. And that's
right.
Not true, and it's not fair. I don't know any woman who does this lightly.
Anita Finley with us on the program, author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, a book that spent 4 weeks, number one position, Amazon.com.
Women in, what are you demoting?
What did I say?
4 weeks. You meant four
Oh, I meant
months.
To say 4 months. I meant to say 4 months, 60. I don't have my solar power save the polar bear calculator here in front of me, Anita.
Oh,
so, you know, without
Jerry,
that, I'm kind of hosed.
I love you more than my luggage.
Let me ask you. Hey, did you see that the new smart luggage is supposed to have a motor in it that follows you around the airport so you don't have to lug it anymore? Yes,
they're too lazy stuff.
Samsonite is working on that luggage, and I was hoping that they were going to have it before I leave for Germany on Wednesday so I could have my robotic luggage follow me around the airport. Let me ask you this last question. I got about a minute and a half here, Anita. Why do Republican males feel so comfortable talking about rape, incest, and abortion when this male, who used to be a Republican, finds the subject matter a difficult one to have a conversation about, but it seems to roll off Republican male tongues without any emotion attached to it?
I think that you just hit it. That's exactly right, because it's not real. It's not real, and you know, I don't wish violence upon anyone, man or woman, whether I agree with them politically or not. But I think until, you know, if a man is on the receiving end of such, you know, of such a horrible crime, then he would think about it differently. I think that's what it is. I don't think some of them think it's real. When you look about even the Todd Akin comment about, quote, legitimate rape, unquote, or forcible rape, as opposed to what, non-forcible rape, these comments are insulting, they're ridiculous, and they bespeak a culture of people who doesn't trust women at all to be telling you the truth. And so that, I think, is where the lack of sensitivity comes from, and the ability to just talk about this as though it's not a real thing. It's abstract over there. And I think this is true of many issues, though, Jerry. I think until something hits close to home, you know, I would suggest respectfully that people even walk over to a Planned Parenthood site. I'll link up to it in the wraparound. There are three stories of women and why they had to have an abortion because of, you know, a fetal defect. And you might feel differently about the issue when you see these heartbreaking stories from people. But until you have it in your own life, you don't get it.
Thank you, Anita, for joining us on the program. And thanks for the work you're doing with Shauna Vircher on the Dare We Say video segments at epictimes.com. Anita Finley, the author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, a book that spent 16 weeks, that's 4 months, in the number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list. Thanks, Anita. Good talking with you. Look forward to the wraparound, and we'll talk soon.
Jerry, thank you so much. Have a great time in Germany.
Thank you very much. Will do. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.